Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken love to us. Why will you not listen? Is not he who formed the ear worth the time it takes to hear? Listen as he speaks through living parables that must be heard. Parables that must be heard.
We're continuing our series this morning on the parables of Jesus. And I wonder how many of you have lived most of your life here in the greater Cincinnati area? If you have ever listened to WLW, you might be familiar with this radio personality. Gary Burbank as Earl Pitt's American. And you know how he always started his rants? You know what makes me sick? And then he'd begin his rant about whatever it was. But Earl Pitt's got really ticked off about things that would happen and the way people acted, and he would spout off on that show. And you know, there's so many people that get so upset about other things that people do. Did you know there's even a website dedicated to this? I found it. It's called getannoyed.com. And I pulled off some of the examples of things people get annoyed about, and I wonder if maybe some of these things annoy you too. One of them was people with a full cart of groceries who get into the express lane that specifically says 10 items or less. Does that annoy you? Does that bother you? Or what about this one? People who zigzag getting out of lanes on the highway. And what really gets me is some of these people drive expensive cars that apparently don't have turn signals. Or what about people who let their dog use my yard as a toilet? Oh, man, what a mess. Or people who are always late. Doesn't that drive you crazy? Or what about people who throw cigarette butts out the car window? Or what about this one? People who use their phones in movie theaters. I mean, they even have a thing at the beginning of the movies telling you to turn them off. Or what about people who use their speaker phones in public places where everybody hears the conversation, whether you want to or not? Or what about people who try to sell you stuff at work? You know, their kid's having some kind of a fundraiser and they bring stuff in and they try to sell it to you at work. Isn't that annoying? Or what about people who borrow things and then never seem to bring them back and return them? Or what about people who ask for my account number after I've already entered it using the keypad on my phone? That's irritating. And I don't know, you may be able to add lots of things to this list of what gets you annoyed. But we're actually going to take a look at a parable today in which Jesus found some people who got annoyed. They were really bothered by what happened, and they were so upset, they had to tell somebody about it. Our parable today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. If you'd like to use a chair Bible as you follow along, that's on page 788. We're going to start in verse 21, but we will continue reading. So I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Now, to give a little context here, you have to understand, Peter's being pretty generous here. You see, in the Jewish tradition, the rabbis taught that you had to forgive someone 3 times. It was like 3 strikes and you're out, you know? And Peter was up in the ante. Lord, what about if we double that number and add 1 more for good measure? It's that perfect biblical number of 7. Is 7 times good enough to forgive someone? Now, by human standards, what Peter said was admirable, and perhaps it was even a little bit extravagant. Peter probably was hoping that his answer would impress Jesus. But let's see how Jesus responded in verse 22. "No, not seven times," Jesus replied, "but 70 times seven." Wow, that's a lot. For those of you that are math inclined, how many times is Jesus telling you to forgive? Yeah, 490. That's a lot. And actually, Jesus is really saying here, there's really no limit to the number of times we're to forgive someone, because who wants to keep track of all of that, right? And so forgiveness is really challenging for most of us because it is undeserved and it's unfair, especially when someone does something that deeply hurts us. Well, this prompts a story. Let's pick it up in verse 23. Jesus continuing to speak here, and he says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay it back, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me and I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt." That's pretty significant, isn't it? Now, you'll notice there's an asterisk in the New Living when it says millions of dollars. In the Greek, it says that the amount that was owed was 10,000 talents. In the first century, a talent was equal to a year's pay. So this was 10,000 years' pay. So let's take a modest figure of 50,000 as an annual salary times 10,000. We're talking about this man had a debt of money he borrowed of $500 million. That is a ton of money, isn't it? Let me put it in another way. That is $500 million. So I don't know what he was thinking when he begged his master and said, "Hey, just be patient with me and I'll pay it all." I don't know how you could do that. But the master had pity on him. He released him and forgave his debt. That's good news, isn't it? But the parable isn't over. Let's pick it up in verse 28. "But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000s. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor couldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full." Now again, it says here he owed him a few $1,000s, and there's an asterisk behind that. And again, it says in the Greek that the man owed him 100 denarii. A denarius was one day's pay. So to flesh that out a little bit, let's say somebody worked 8 hours a day and had a modest hourly rate of $12.50 an hour. That would mean that it would be $100 for one day's pay. If he owed 100 denarii, we're talking about a debt of $10,000. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's not chump change, is it? He did have a debt. But what's amazing to me here is there is a contrast Jesus is making between the talents versus the denarii. 10,000 talents, $500 million versus $10,000. If you like decimals, look at this. This is 0.00002%. Wee little bit. If you like fractions, it's 1/50,000th of the amount. So this guy who'd been forgiven a huge debt goes to a fellow servant who owes a wee little bit in comparison, and he won't forgive the debt. He has this guy thrown into prison until the debt could be paid. The story's not over. Look at verse 31. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. This is where, in the words of Earl Pitt's American, they would say, "You know what makes me sick? Makes me really mad when some people get forgiven a large debt and then they won't forgive a small debt that somebody owes them." And this really annoyed these people, these fellow servants. It annoyed them so much. Look what they did in the middle of verse 31. They went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid an entire debt. That's how the parable ended. But look at verse 35 to see the application. Jesus says, "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." Wait a minute. I thought God was a God of love. I thought God was all about mercy and grace. But Jesus says here, "That is what my heavenly Father will do to you." What did the king do? He sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his debt. That doesn't sound like the New Testament teaching, does it? Might sound a little like some Old Testament teaching. But let me remind you, this is Matthew 18. This is New Testament. This is Jesus talking about his Father. And he's talking about our relationships with other people. This isn't the only time Jesus talked about this. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shared with us what most of us know is the Lord's Prayer. It was actually a model prayer he gave. Wasn't necessarily to be words that were to be recited over and over again. In fact, if you read the verses right before, he admonishes people, don't babble on and on, repeating the same words over and over like the pagans do. But I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me, but I want you to keep your eyes open because very often we say the words over and over again and we don't think about what they really mean, but see if you can find the connection to today's message. Join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Did you see the line there that has to do with today's sermon? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Some people say this line in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And that certainly makes sense in the context of this parable. But Jesus is talking here, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And notice, we're asking for God's forgiveness, but when we say the words of this prayer, we're actually asking God, "Hey, the way I forgive other people, that's how I want you to forgive me." Did you ever think about it that way? That might be pretty convicting, especially if there is some unforgiveness in some of your relationships. Jesus followed the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:14 and 15 He wanted to make sure people got this. He said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. He wanted to make sure that we understood what we were praying for. That's why, even before Jesus told this parable, what may have prompted Peter to ask the question was Jesus talked about relational conflict. And in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, he gave us a prescription for how to handle it. He said, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. Very often, that's not what people do. A lot of times, if somebody does something to hurt them, they run around telling other people about it. But Jesus said, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. The other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. Issue resolved. But Jesus also knows we live in a real world where not everybody listens. Not all issues are resolved. So he goes on and he says, but if you're unsuccessful, if they didn't listen or there wasn't a resolution, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. So take help along. But even then, it might not be resolved. And he says, if the person still refuses to listen, then take your case to the church. So these were Jesus' words just prior to Peter asking, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And it's kind of what prompted the story. When you need to forgive someone, there's a few things that are really helpful to keep in mind if you need to have that conversation. I think it's always good to meet face to face if you can. I think it's good, as Jesus said, point out the wrong that has been done to you. But if you really want to forgive somebody, at that point, you need to release that person through forgiveness so they no longer owe you this debt. On the other end of it, when you need forgiveness, if you are the one that has done the wrong thing, again, you can reconcile by meeting face to face. Own the wrong you've done. Don't try to excuse it or justify it. And ask for that kind of release. That's what forgiveness is for both the person that needs forgiveness and the person that should give forgiveness. It is a release from that debt. That's why Jesus put the story that way. He didn't make the story about somebody who'd done something relationally wrong to someone. He used the word debt because he wanted us to understand that forgiveness is about canceling a debt. Giving and receiving forgiveness are vital parts of all of our relationships. Sometimes within our families, sometimes with our friends or coworkers or neighbors. But if we want to be followers of Jesus, we need to be good at giving and receiving forgiveness. This is especially important in the context of the church family. If you were not with us in ABF today, I want to read this passage to you from Philippians chapter 4, because we've learned some phenomenal things out of Philippians 4, but this really kind of blew some people away today. In Philippians 4:2, Paul says this, now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard for me in telling others the good news. They worked hard along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. So here are two sisters in Christ. We're not told what their disagreement was, but something happened. And maybe they weren't speaking to each other. And maybe this conflict was getting big enough it was affecting people in the church. And Paul says, even in the church, settle the disagreement. And he's asking others to help. And this is so important when we have a church family, because maybe you've seen this in a church where people have been angry, people have left, maybe a church has split because a disagreement was not resolved for the sake of the gospel. And this is why here at the Hamersville Church of Christ, If you've ever been through the iChurch workshop, and if you've never been through that because you're a little newer to the church family, we'll do another one here soon this fall. But we ask, as a part of the partnership agreement, that people make this pledge that I will protect the unity of our church family. How do we do that? By following the teaching of Jesus on reconciliation. Matthew 18 was all about resolving conflict. And I love something else that Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 12, verses 10, 16, and 18. A beautiful way to think about it. He says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another." And verse 18 is just great. He says this, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Did you see that line, "as far as it depends on you"? It means perhaps not all conflict will be resolved, because it takes two willing hearts to resolve a conflict. But as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Paul even wrote about this idea in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. He says, "Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." And he wraps up chapter 4 by saying this in verse 32, "Be kind and tender-hearted to each other, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you." So we see this idea of forgiveness stemming back to the fact that we've been forgiven, therefore we should be extenders of forgiveness. But I want to talk about three barriers to a forgiving heart, three things that prevent people from doing that. And one is the idea of getting revenge. "I'm going to get even with that person. They did something to hurt me. I'm going to get them back." And if you have that heart attitude, it's going to be a barrier to having a forgiving heart. Another barrier is resentment. The idea, "I don't care what they say, I'm just going to stay angry." And there are people that live their life like that. And that's not good and healthy, and it's another barrier to a forgiving heart. The final thing is this idea of remembering. "I'm never going to forget what they did to me." Any of these three barriers can prevent you from having the kind of forgiving heart that God wants. But I also want to say that if somebody doesn't seek forgiveness or resolve the relationship, some of us are like, well, what do I do? A couple years ago, we did a series called "Is That Really in the Bible?" And if you want to listen to a more detailed message about this, we did a message on the title, "Forgiving Means Forgetting." That's what some people think. Some people will do something that violates you. "Well, you're a Christian. You're supposed to forget." Well, that's not necessarily true, and this message goes into more detail. In fact, there are some Christian counselors, Cloud and Townsend, that wrote some really good books on the subject of boundaries. And if somebody continually crosses healthy boundaries that you have, there's some things that you need to set in place to prevent that hurt from continuing. So I want to encourage you, if you want to go back and listen to this message, go to the website, look under sermons, and you can scroll back till you see the image, "Is That Really in the Bible?" and listen to that message. But I want to tell you, unforgiveness means choosing to stay trapped in a jail cell of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime. It's not a good way to live. Forgiveness means to set this prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner all the time was you. I mean, think about it. If somebody does something that hurts you deeply and they have no conscience about it and they don't really care, they're running around living their life on their terms and you're sitting there feeling hurt, who's the prisoner? And so this idea of unforgiveness keeps you trapped in a jail cell of bitterness, but forgiveness sets the prisoner free, and that prisoner is you. Well, somebody might be here today and might ask, well, what if I've been hurt so badly that I don't think I can forgive? I've struggled with that, with some of the hurt that I've experienced in my life too. God, I want to follow this teaching, but I don't know that I can. What do you do? I don't know if you remember this account in Mark chapter 9, but there was a man who came and brought a son who was very sick to Jesus, and he wanted Jesus to heal him. And Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And the man said this, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." He believed Jesus could heal his son, or he wouldn't have brought him. But there was something in Jesus that made him ask the man, "Do you really believe?" And so he covered it this way, "I do believe, Lord, but help my unbelief." And the way that I've handled it is by following this example. When I need to forgive, but I'm not sure that I can, I pray this prayer, "Lord, I do forgive, but help my unforgiveness. I'm willing, Lord, but I need your help to do this." And I think when we acknowledge that need to God, I think he helps us. So my challenge for you today is this. Do you need to ask someone for forgiveness? Are you the one that might have hurt somebody else? Is there someone that you've wronged and you really haven't owned up to it? If so, make the decision to go to that person and make things right. On the other hand, it might be that you need to extend forgiveness to someone that has hurt you. Maybe you've been nursing a grudge against someone that's hurt you. If so, make the decision to go to that person and make things right. Jesus says it's really important, and he used this parable to talk about it, that God has forgiven us so much, and yet many times we hold on to things that other people have done. And I hope and pray as you follow the model prayer and ask God to forgive you, that you'll also be willing to extend forgiveness to others. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you for this parable of Jesus. It was really easy to get annoyed with the man who was forgiven so much, and yet he was unwilling to forgive such a small amount. We saw the fellow servants were so annoyed by it, they went to the king, and we saw how the king responded. Lord, help us hear this parable of Jesus. Help us apply it to our lives. And help us to follow those words that Paul wrote in Romans 12. If it's possible, as far as it depends on me, live at peace with everyone. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?